You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, good day to you. We are 8 days away, only 8 days away from Sacramento Kings Media Day inside their practice facility, which is connected to the Golden 1 Center. And that is really the kickoff, the official kickoff of the regular season. Immediately following Media Day, the Kings will hop on a plane after a couple days of training camp, and they will head to India to play the Indiana Pacers for a couple of preseason games. Then they come home, complete their preseason competition with, I think, 4 more games, a couple on the road and a couple at home. And then, yes, we made it. The start of the regular season in October. I cannot wait for Media Day to come around because everything starts to get real. We talk to all of the players, and of course, I'll have great sound and coverage for you right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season, which is finally coming to an end. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, this is the place for you. And my name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And because of the excitement, I just knew I had to do another fans-only podcast. And I was planning on having it put off towards the end of September, really into October. But so many of you reached out that I wanted to do one fans only now, and then another one probably in the coming weeks. So if you have not already entered your name into or reached out to me and said that you want to be a part of the fans only podcasts, future episodes, do that right now. Reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. And what fans only is, for those of you who are new, is that I invite Sacramento Kings fans and listeners of this podcast onto the show, and I interview them. We hear their stories of how they became Kings fans, and then, of course, get their takes on what the Sacramento Kings are doing, what's going on, their expectations for the upcoming season, all of that. It really, I said many times that this platform, this podcast is not just a place for me to speak to you and share my thoughts and my opinions and takes and news on the Sacramento Kings. It's also your platform as well to create and continue Kings-related conversation. So to put my words into action, I thought about a year and a half ago or so, why don't I have a fans-only podcast? I think this is the 4th one that I have ever done. They've been a success, a tremendous success, each and every single one, and I'm hoping that continues here today. So I brought in 2 fantastic people to join me on today's Locked On Kings podcast, fans only. I have Nate Washburn and Walker Davidson joining me. 2 dedicated listeners to the podcast, 2 dedicated Kings fans. So we'll be hearing from them, my conversations with them here very, very shortly. Again, if you ever want to be a part of a Locked On Kings podcast now or in the future, reach me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. Also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. And be sure to connect with your fellow fans that you may hear on this podcast or that you may follow or interact with on social media, Twitter, and all of that. Let's keep this conversation going and get this community even bigger than it already is. Before we jump in to today's show, I want to let you know that this show today is brought to you by Peloton. If you can't find a workout that keeps you engaged, Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. You can get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, to get started. Kicking things off on this preseason edition of the Fans Only podcast here on Sports 1140 KHDK, and I'm joined by my first fan here, Walker Davidson, kind enough to spend time with me. Walker, a consistent listener of the Locked On Kings podcast, which I certainly appreciate, and has a very interesting story as a Sacramento Kings fan. He's nice enough to take the time to appear here on Locked On Kings. Walker, welcome in. Thank you so much for taking the time, my friend. Thank you for being a listener of the Locked On Kings podcast, and ultimately thank you for choosing to be a Sacramento Kings fan. I appreciate it.
Of course, man, of course. As you'll soon find out, me being a Kings fan wasn't much my choice initially, but I'm sure as hell glad I chose to now, and I can't wait to get this going, man. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and just glad to be part of it for an episode.
Well, awesome, man. And sometimes the best choices are made for you. You don't necessarily make yourself, but I'm anxious to hear about your Kings story, how interesting it is. And you alluded to it off the air before we started talking, but you're not from the Sacramento area, so you have a little bit of a different and unique Sacramento Kings perspective.
Yes, one of the few and proud outside of the 916 area. But, yeah, one of the fewer in Los Angeles. I was born and raised in L.A. I did spend some time in Oregon, but I'm back in Los Angeles. But ever since day one, I've been a Kings fan, and day one was back in 98. So I vaguely remember the glory years. If I'm being quite honest, I only really remember 03, 04 onwards, which was sort of the downturn of those years. But still, that was what cemented my Kings fandom, and my dad didn't give me a choice at the beginning, and I'm so glad, because to this day I'm such a huge Kings fan. I've been on Kings Twitter now for a few years, and it's been quite a journey.
Is your dad from the Sacramento area or era, or was he just in love with the Vlade Divac, Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, greatest show on court, Kings?
So that's the thing with my dad. My dad is actually one of the OGs. I would say he's one of the true original Sacramento Kings fans. Going back to the Kansas City Omaha Kings. My dad was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, and he was one of the 9,000, not season ticket holders. He was a kid, but he was he would put that number, I'd say roughly 60-70% of their home games. And so he was one of the few and proud out there, and he's been, you know, living through some tough years, I would say. But in my lifetime is when it's been brightest, and he is just like I am. He's so excited for these next few years. It's the most hopeful time in Kings basketball in such a long time.
So help me out, Walker, and I'm not judging you by any means. We're a one-sport town here in Sacramento. No disrespect to the Sacramento River Cats, who just won the AAA championship, and no disrespect to the Sacramento Republic FC, but Sacramento is a one-sport town in the sense that the Kings are everything here. The Kings are the major professional franchise. L.A. is packed with sports, including not one, but two options for NBA teams between the Lakers and the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And for someone who takes region very seriously in my sports and in my supporting, being able to attend games and watch games and support the same as my neighbors, how in the world did you escape a Lakers or Clippers affiliation and maintain that Kings fandom?
Well, it's actually quite simple. As a kid in, you know, elementary school growing up here in Los Angeles, you constantly hear, you know, I mean, everyone was talking about Kobe and Shaq, Kobe and Shaq. And the cool kids, in my opinion, were talking about, you know, Darius Miles and, you know, Dap Up on the Head. That was, you know, those were the cool kids. But still, most everyone was talking about Kobe and Shaq. And I just I found out at a very early age, I wasn't a fan of L.A. sports fans. Because you find out here that living in Los Angeles, it's not all just about sports. You can, if the sports team is bad, there's a million things to do. I mean, it's Los Angeles. You can go to the beach. You can do, you know, go to Hollywood. There's a million things to do. So I think all sports fans here, I won't say all, because one of my closest friends is more knowledgeable with basketball than I am, and he's a Lakers fan. But I would say nearly all Lakers fans are fair-weathered fans. And I would say that goes as well for the Clippers, too, because when the Lakers were bad, the Clippers stadium started, you know, when the Clippers were in Staples, it started filling up more. So I was not a fan of that. And I, from a very early age, locked on to the Kings, no pun intended. And it became more of a personal thing for me, too. And I found this out more recently. I think this is a subconscious thing for my dad and I being Kings fan. Is that our last name is Davidson, and it's biblical, and we're not even, you know, religious or anything like that, but it's the story of David versus Goliath. So we're always supposed to root for the underdog, and that's sort of the genesis of all that.
Well, then, if you're supposed to root for the underdog, I would understand how the Los Angeles Clippers may have been enticing. And I'm not trying to go down a Clippers rabbit hole here on the Locked On Kings podcast, but this is the first time in a long time, I think, that both the Lakers and the Clippers can be pretty significant powerhouses. But I'm curious, would it have been easier for you to be a Clippers fan over being a Kings fan? Or with the kind of the Clippers mantra in L.A., was it easier to be a Kings fan than it would have been a Clippers fan?
Well, that's a great question. I think that it's just as difficult being a Clippers fan as it is a Kings fan, right? Because you tell any basketball fan you're one of the fans of those two teams and you're going to get, you know, a joke or two or whatever. But I do think some would look at me, if I would have become a Clippers fan, as being more normal or whatever. I could go to more home games, whatever the case may be. I just never fell in love with the Clippers organization. I wasn't aware of the Donald Sterling affairs, you know, as it was happening, as none of us were. But now going back, looking in hindsight, it's like, thank God. I mean, this organization was not, you know, from top down, was not a good organization. So, I mean, obviously Lob City, I checked in. I think I went to a couple of those Clippers games, not in any Clippers gear. I think it was Clippers Kings. Typically, those are the only games I go to in Staples Centers when the Kings come to town. But yeah, I would say that it was tough at some times not to throw my allegiances with other teams, not even LA teams. For a short while there, I was a little fond of the Heatles. But, you know, it's just being a kid. You want to latch on to the best team. It's what my dad did. But at some point I realized, you know what, I've been a fan of these teams. I've had jerseys since I was four. You know, I got to stick with this. So that's what I decided to do.
What about, you mentioned being able to attend Kings games when they come to L.A. and play in Staples Center, but are you able to, and have you been able to in any recently head up to Sacramento, mm-hmm. head up north to catch some Kings action?
Oh, of course, of course. I was just there for the most recent action there during the California Classic.
Awesome.
My dad and I went there. Yeah, we went there last year, the first year of that, and we're going to make that a you know, an annual thing for us. And next year we're dragging my cousin along because he saw it was so much fun. So he's going to come along with us. We're just bringing more and more of the family each year. During the season, it gets a little bit tougher because work, but we have attended a couple of games. As I said, at Staples Center when the Kings come to town, but we haven't yet caught a regular season game at Golden One. That's the one thing I have left to do.
Well, let's transition then into the state of the Kings now and where they're at currently. Obviously, a lot of optimism here in Sacramento, a lot of hopes for this upcoming season. Does that make things more enticing or easier for you to figure out a way to make it up for a regular season game? Or are there plans to make any kind of weekly trip or a weekend trip to catch a game or two?
Definitely, definitely. We've talked about it this season for sure, seeing all the excitement going into the season. Last year was a surprise, but I was so happy that we decided to get league pass like before the season started. It was just a, you know, let's see what happens this year. And we got the Sacramento Kings, you know, team league pass, not the whole thing because it's way too expensive. And we were really, really lucky. It turned out the Sacramento Kings were like the league pass team to watch, and it was the only team we paid for, and they obviously, because they're our favorite team, and it was fantastic basketball night in, night out. And you want to know the saddest thing, though, and this pains me, but we only missed a couple of games because we were either too close to Los Angeles and we were getting blacked out or whatever, and one of the few games that we missed that we were blacked out and we couldn't watch it on TV, was the bogey shot
yep.
against the Lakers. And that game we were listening to with Gary, with Jerry Girold, and it was, I'm telling you, that call from him was magnificent. And I will never be sad, you know, when I can't watch a game on TV because I always have Jerry. I mean, he's fantastic.
Yeah, G-Man is certainly a legend in that sense, and he always does a fantastic job. Is it easier now? Is there more of a respect that's developing amongst Laker fans for the Sacramento Kings, or is it still kind of the stick their nose up you or up in the air mantra of win a championship and then we'll talk type thing?
I feel like the less informed fans are like that, but I feel like a lot, my close friend who's a Lakers friend, he would say that, you know, the Sacramento Kings are could have easily made the playoffs last year, and will probably have a more than likely chance of getting there next season. And everyone who underestimates them again with a deeper Western Conference is only going to make our start of the year and our early season jump more significant. I do think there is still like that little brother vibe. I definitely get that. Not as much as, you know, some, I think the Lakers Clippers relationship is, it's more like a distant cousin sort of thing, but it's like, oh, here they are. They're, you know, finally putting it together. But I feel like, you know, what leg do they have to stand on? They've been garbage for almost just as long now. So it's at this point, it's, you know, who's going to be greater first. And everyone's assuming the Lakers are going to put it all together with their two superstars this season. I see, you know, just as with a lot of people see with the concerns on the injury concerns with the Clippers, I see a lot of injury concerns with the Lakers. I mean, there are two stars. Besides Anthony Davis, he's had some injury concerns here and there, but LeBron now is starting to show that his age is catching up to him a little bit. I don't think that's going to hinder his production. I mean, we saw even last year, his quote-unquote down year, he's averaging nearly 28 points per game. So, but that, to me, is going to be the most interesting storyline this next season, is who has a better regular season. I think everyone immediately assumes the Lakers, but I think the Kings are going to slot ourselves. We're going to make a similar jump that we made last year, and we're not going to be fighting for the eighth spot. We're going to be fighting for that sixth or fifth spot.
Interesting. I want to go back to one of the things you said, and you kind of snuck it in, so I want to get you to reiterate it and kind of double down on it a little bit. You're predicting a hot start to the season and a really good opening couple of weeks. I mean, it was good for the Kings last year. They caught a lot of teams by surprise, particularly Eastern Conference teams, which is one of the reasons why they got off to such a strong start last season. But they're not catching teams by surprise anymore with the talent that they have. So what is it about this team right now that makes you say with confidence that, once again, it's going to be another hot start out of the gate?
Well, I think it's like I said. I think that there are teams that there is obviously a sense around Sacramento this year that, yes, we could be the ninth seed again. We could possibly fight for the eighth seed. I still don't think that reflects the talent that we have on our team. And I don't think it reflects the jump that we're going to see in our talent from last year. I think in every facet, the Kings have gotten better as a franchise and as a team. And every individual position, I mean, point guard, you have Corey Joseph now to back up Fox so he can finally take a break, I mean, and breathe for once. And small forward, we have an actual small forward rotation to start the season, not getting Harrison Barnes halfway through, throwing him in the thick of it, and asking him to completely change his role that he's been doing for a few years. I think that all of these factors with us getting together as a team, you know, with the start of training camp coming up now, I think with a lot of roster changes around the Western Conference, there's going to be a lot of teams with gelling issues. And I think I have faith in our team and our system being a pretty easy system to run. It's not like we're running a box offense or anything. We're just running, you know, run and gun. I mean, it's pretty basic. And I feel like our guys are going to latch on to that, you know, that mentality, and we're going to still catch some teams off guard this year because there's still going to be – we're Sacramento. Everyone underestimates us consistently. It's not going to happen. We'll win – when we win our first championship, the next season they will underestimate us. I guarantee you it'll just continue.
Walker, if you're a true Kings fan, and I know you are, you also have that little inkling of crippling doubt or fear or concern that sneaks into the brain of every logical, not just Kings fan, but sports fan, but especially Kings fans who have been without the playoffs for the last 13 years. So if I were to ask you to honestly give me something that does concern you about this Kings team heading into this season, could you give me anything?
Yes, I think my biggest concern, and I might be on an island here because I'm on an island on Twitter when I put this out there. My concern is that we, and I actually heard Richard Ivanowski say this once or twice, so maybe I'm not, but I think Buddy Hield's season last year was his best season. I think that's the season that we witnessed. Then that, to me, is going to, for a lot of Kings fans, they're going to expect him to, I think, you know, the ones of us that are very informed, we know that his promise to himself is that he wants to up his points per game again by 7 points, so he wants to get up to 27 points per game. If he makes that kind of jump, I think we, you know, the playoffs is nearly a lock, because that means he's scoring nearly 30 a game, and with all of our other young pieces and other guys, you know, averaging near 15 or 10, like, we could easily get some teams, catch some teams off guard. But I think if he returns to the mean, or if it turns out that last season that Buddy is going to be the Buddy for this coming season and the next year, then I think we're going to struggle as far as a team being able to drown people in threes, which was our main thing last year. I know Luke Walton's offense is based around that, and I know that De'Aaron's been working on his shooting. Harrison's going to be probably working on a lot of spot-up shooting, because that's going to be his main opportunity now, as well as Bagley. So it's going to have to come together on court. But I think Buddy really does have to take that next step. If he remains at that mean, then I think we sign him to an extension, not as large as what people are talking about, maybe 490, 400, somewhere in that area, maybe even 480, something like Harrison Barnes. And everyone's talking about, if there was a tradable piece of our core, we would possibly trade Bogey. And this is where I know this might be a hot take. I'm in the camp that if we were to trade someone, we would actually trade Buddy.
Well, you're not going to make too many people happy with that take, and I have to double back and ask you a follow-up to that, because that surprises me a little bit. I think, obviously, Kings fans want Buddy Hield to continue to improve, but you sound like if he continued what he did last season, it sounds like you're saying you would be disappointed, which to me is a little mind-boggling, seeing as how he was the leading scorer on the team, and on top of that, he shot mid-40s in three-point percentage, which is one of the best in all of the NBA right now. To me, if he's able to continue that, especially with the idea that there's going to be an increased volume of three-pointers taken under Luke Walton's offense, I think that's still a home run for the Sacramento Kings team, who still has all their eggs in the De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley basket.
I hear you there. I completely hear you there. At what point does the volume shooting, when we're doing it as a team? Yes, I can see that as a team, that work, that's spreading the floor. But if Buddy's going to be taking all the attempts that he was taking, does that hinder that style of offense? Because then, wouldn't they be able to zone in? We saw that sort of at the end of the season last year, where teams late in game, where we were trying to fight back, where they were trying to fight back in, would start to double Buddy, or they would double Fox, they would force the pass off to Buddy, and then they would have someone automatically rotating. Like, they knew that they wanted to get the ball to Buddy to double him and make him make a quick decision. So I'm not saying – I am a huge Buddy Hield fan. This is hard for me to say, too. But I think this also goes hand-in-hand with Bogey's most recent FIBA experience. I think Bogey's season last year was a an anomaly. That is not going to happen again. He entered that season tearing his meniscus. He had very little off-season work. He didn't start the season. And if everyone remembers at that time, he was, you know, going to be the starter, and then he was injured, and Buddy was slotted in that role, and then we never looked back because Buddy was fantastic. But I think that Bogey, especially with this fantastic FIBA performance, where he was the best player in a tournament that had Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jokic, Rudy Gobert, I mean, endless amounts of NBA talent. I mean, the MVP of the NBA. He was the best. Bogdan Bogdanovic was the best player in the tournament. Sorry, Ricky Rubio. I mean, you can give him that title, but Bogey was. He scored the most points in the tournament. So I think that with that performance going into this season, his training camp's going to be hot. He's going to make a case this season to be slotted somewhere in the starting lineup. He might even try and fight for that small forward spot if he can show that he can hang with some bigger guys on defense. Maybe it'll just be matchup based, you know, against the Rockets with Eric Gordon there or whatever it may be. But I think that Bogey's going to have a much larger role this season. He's going to take a larger step this year than Buddy Hield might.
I'll say one more thing, and I'll give you the last word on this entire situation. Again, going back to one of the things you were saying about Buddy, you talked about how teams really recognized, and you're right, in the sense that teams really recognized that if the Kings were trying to get back into a game offensively and needed a big bucket, the ball was going into Buddy Hield's hands, and Buddy Hield was the leading scorer and one of the best players, if not even the best player on the Kings last season. But that is something that we're expecting to change. And if Buddy Hield is continuing to be the guy in those spots and has continued to be treated defensively or from opposing defenses like the guys in those spots, I don't put the blame on Buddy for not being able to grow upon that. I put the blame on Fox and Bagley and the Kings offense overall for not being able to take advantage of the amount of attention that would be on Buddy Hield in those situations. Here's the reality is the Kings are going into a season where they want Buddy Hield to be number three. And if he's number three, continuing to do what he did last year, you're in really, really good shape. But Marvin Bagley and De'Aaron Fox specifically, and this is where I think the massive point of this upcoming season is, the Kings are going to ride or die with De'Aaron Fox this year. If De'Aaron Fox is an all-star, the Kings are making the playoffs. If De'Aaron Fox doesn't have an all-star caliber season, with the strength of this West, I'm sorry, the Kings are not making it. So all attention and all focus is going to be on De'Aaron Fox in the future. It is up to Fox and the Kings to make sure that with the spotlight that is on Fox, Buddy, Bagley, Bogey, and the rest are getting ample opportunities to support.
I completely agree with you. He is, when someone asks me, you know, I think we're going to take the jump that the Nuggets take. You know, I always compare us to the Nuggets of last, right? They go, who's your Jokic? And I go, Fox, without hesitation. For a while, I couldn't answer that question. Now I can answer that question without hesitation. Our Jokic is Fox. He is our star. He is our, you know, undeniable team leader. And he's got to take us all the way. I mean, everything else, like you said, is ancillary. Definitely.
Well, Walker, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, for being a Kings fan, for bringing the support down to Southern California and hostile territory. I certainly appreciate it. If you do come up for a Kings game this season, I really hope you and your dad can make it up to experience regular season basketball and just experience the energy inside the Golden 1 Center for yourself. If you can make it up, please let us know, and I'd be happy to meet with you in person at the Golden 1 Center at one of the games. But enjoy this upcoming season. Keep it tied right here to Locked On Kings, and don't be a stranger as well. Keep active in the community, and I appreciate you just taking the time, as always.
Of course, man. Sure thing. Thank you for having me on here. I'm absolutely ecstatic. I'm thinking about starting a podcast of my own with that Lakers friend, so this is a great sort of dipping my toes in the water, so I really appreciate that, man.
And then for Kings fans, if you want to get connected with Walker, hear more about him, or just talk general Kings with him, you absolutely can do that. Walker is an active Kings fan on Twitter. I'm scrolling through right now trying to find your Twitter handle. Here it is. It is at Sack Kings. It's lit. At Sack Kings. ITSLIT. Good Twitter handle there, my man.
Yeah, that was a quote from Iman Shumpert back at the beginning of the season when he signed. It was his hashtag, his first hashtag before Sacramento scores. He put hashtag Sack Kings Split. And so I thought that was a nice deep cut I would make my handle.
Fantastic. Well, follow Walker and get involved with him on social media. I certainly will, and we'll continue our conversations there, Walker. Thank you so much again, my friend.
Of course, man. You have a great one.
Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. Continuing on with this fans only podcast, first time we've done this in quite a while, and I'm very happy to have it back, especially as we're approaching maybe the most hyped up Kings season since the early 2000s. And right now I'm joined by Nate Washburn. You can find him on Twitter at Nate Washburn, and that's actually how he reached out to me, an active listener of the Locked On Kings podcast, but an even more active fan of this Sacramento Kings King squad, which always earns brownie points with me. Nate, kind enough to take the time here to come on the Locked On Kings podcast, which I always appreciate. Nate, welcome in, man. It's a pleasure to have you on, and words can't express how much I appreciate you being a member of this Locked On Kings community. So thank you for wanting to come on and be involved today.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to be a part of the pod today.
Well, I always want to open up these podcasts. I don't know how much our listeners are interested based off of the numbers that we get from these Locked On Kings podcasts. Typically, they do very, very well. So I think a lot of Kings fans, I know I, as a Kings fan, like to hear the backgrounds and the stories of how my fellow fans became supporters of this team. So we'll start there with you, Nate. When did it all begin for you? Why did you choose the Sacramento Kings? How did becoming a Kings fan come about? And what about being a Kings fan has you wanting to be so involved with this community and with these podcasts and things like that?
Well, growing up in Sacramento, it was just sort of a natural thing. When the team came in 85, I was still in middle school, and there was a huge hype about the team coming. And Sacramento did not have professional sports, so this was a big deal. And it was instantaneous. I hadn't really followed the NBA too closely, but I fell in love with this team right away, and I just grew with it over the years. I went to my first game back in 85-86 season, and was completely hooked from that point forward. It was fun. I can tell you a little bit. I used to, back in the days, I'd listen to the G-Man. I was a bit of a kind of a stats nerd. I'd actually take new stats during the game while listening on the radio. We didn't really, not a lot of games were televised back then.
Yeah.
And I would clip articles from the SACB, just keep track of that team, and followed it religiously during the early years.
Wow, you were an analytics guy really before the analytics came about, huh?
Yeah, there was no internet back then, so you had to do it by hand.
Oh, yikes!
You had to break it all down, but it was fun and just. You know, being a kid and following a team was great. Going to the games was awesome. ARCO won. It was a great place, great atmosphere. People back then probably remember you had to wait overnight for single game tickets. So I was there overnight at the box office at the arena to try to get my single game tickets in order to get last row nosebleeds at the ARCO one. We were all pretty rabid fans back there in the mid-80s.
Well, Nate, I got to tell you, there's a natural jealousy when I hear things like that, because that was unfortunately before my time. I started becoming a Kings fan at about 6 years old because my uncle was a season ticket holder, and that was right at the beginning of the glory eras getting going in the late 90s with Jason Williams, Chris Webber came to town and things like that. And of course, it became what it became. But to see pictures, to see videos, hardwood classic replays of games that were in ARCO run one, the rabid fan base that was there, even though the team, quite frankly, was garbage. I can't tell you how many times I've watched the game where the Sacramento Kings defeated Larry Bird's Boston Celtics, and how crazy the arena was for that. Are there any memories that you have from ARCO 1 specifically, or games in ARCO 1 specifically, that just vividly stick with you, that really helped define your time as a Kings fan?
Well, I got to admit that Boston game in 86 was pretty crazy. Larry Bird missing two free throws in the final seconds to seal the deal because the arena was just out of control. That was pretty intense. Other than that, there were some game winners I caught in person. I can't remember the teams we played, but there was my very first game. I'll remember that. That was March 1886 against the Nuggets. The Kings won. I had lower bowl seats through a friend, and it was quite an experience watching the team back then in 85-86. You had Reggie Theus, Larry Drew, Mike Woodson, Otis Thorpe, Tank Thompson. You had all the classic Kings, and it was actually a good team that year. And then it kind of fell apart. But it was a lot of fun during those first few years at ARCO 1. One other piece that was really nice about that place is the team bus for the visitors was outside the arena. So after the game, you just go outside, hang out by the team bus, and you could see the Kings players and coaches come out to get their cars, and you could see the visiting teams come out to get the bus to get autographs and photos and stuff. You can't do that anymore.
No, my goodness, how much things have changed with just security and protection for players in general, which is probably a good thing. So you got to experience the craziness and the chaos of games in Arco 1 and how exciting and how loud and how crazy that fan base got. Were you ever able to experience playoff basketball inside Arco 2 during the heydays, the glory days of the Kings?
I was never, not in person. I already left and gone to the barrier for college at that point. But I was able to watch all the games on TV. So that was pretty much as close to the experience I could for the glory days of the Kings in the early 2000s.
But I assume you were still able to catch some Kings games inside Arco 2 when they are at the peak of their performance, when the place was sold out every night, yeah?
Yeah, I was able to get a couple games a year and make a road trip back up to SAC and see some games. But yeah, those playoff tickets, you couldn't get those.
Exactly. So how does that atmosphere of Arco 2 and the glory days of the Kings being sold out every night, even if the Kings were taking on the worst team in the league, it didn't matter. It was packed and it was loud. How did that compare in that Arco Thunder compare to the atmosphere in Arco 1?
It was a little different. In Arco 1, the fans cheered for everything. They were just happy there was a team there. The team could be losing, and the fans would still be cheering. In Arco 2, it was crazy loud because they had, obviously, extra incentive. But it was different. I mean, the arena was much larger with Arco 2, and it wasn't as it was just a different vibe, but it was an amazing vibe in Arco 2. I can't deny that at all. It was different.
Something I say with a lot of pride is that I get emotional very randomly, but very often when I approach the Golden 1 Center or I walk inside the Golden 1 Center or when I take a moment, whether it's during a game or after or before when the arena is completely empty, when I'm just standing on the concourse or sitting in a seat at the Golden 1 Center and looking around and realizing that state-of-the-art facility is in Sacramento. My childhood was spent in Arco 2. I spent almost every winter, as many days as I could with my uncle, who was a season ticket holder, we spent inside Arco Arena. And I grew up there, and I love that building still to a passion to this day. But to see where Arco 2 and what that became now with the Golden 1 Center downtown, to me, it's emotional as the attachment that I have with this organization. Is it the same way for you going from Arco 1 to Arco 2 now to the Golden 1 Center? What is that, just watching and growing up through that transition of just facilities, been like for you here in Sacramento?
Well, with the with Arco 1, it was a long time ago, so I have to try to remember back the way it was. Just like you, I do remember Arco 2 more than anything else. So it was just going to Arco 2 was seeing a real basketball arena in my back then, because Arco 1 was not a real arena. It was a glorified box.
The barn.
And a barn, you can call it that. Yes, exactly. So actually seeing concourse and different things at Arco 2 was just amazing for me. I went to the Oakland Coliseum before they remodeled it and after they remodeled it, and I was kind of comparing the two. The difference between Arco 2 and Golden 1 Center is just night and day, without a doubt. I went to the first season at Golden 1 Center and just walking, or I got there early, walked around, toured the entire place, and was just blown away by the whole atmosphere of it. It's not even, I haven't seen any arena compared to it. I know the Chase Center is just opening. I'd be happy to go check that out someday. But being from Sacramento, I always have favoritism towards SAC arenas, obviously.
And was and there? I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, and the downtown area. It's amazing how much that's changed from what it used to be. Even before the days of the mall, pre-mall, it's changed so much. And we were down there last April for the Pelicans game to close out the home season. And I was just walking around, seeing all the restaurants, the shops, everything. That place is completely changed up, and it's all due to that arena.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you're like me. I enjoyed, I show up earlier than the crowds mostly to beat the traffic to get there to do pregame media, but usually have about an hour or so of downtime before the game starts. So I'll usually exit the arena and just walk around the downtown commons, and to see hours before game time or an hour before game time, it packed with people, the restaurants, the bars, the Starbucks or whatever's nearby. Now every time you go to the downtown commons now, there's a new shop or new store opening up. Of course, the brand new state-of-the-art hotel that's there. Now we have the Hard Rock Casino that's opening nearby in Sacramento. It's incredible to watch the growth, and it puts a legitimacy to Sacramento as an NBA and a basketball and a sports destination, which is where I was going to go with my next question. Do you take a little extra element of pride now in this city, this community, and this franchise that we now have this, not just arena, but this complex to welcome opposing teams and opposing fans into, and hopefully one day an all-star game?
Oh, absolutely. Being from Sacramento, I've always had, not to, steal a phrase, I've always been Sacramento proud. I've always been happy to say I'm from Sacramento. I will say, though, 20, 30 years ago, you said it and you kind of cringed when people looked at you. But we were still very proud to be Sacramentans. And nowadays, it's so different in the sense that you can say you're from Sacramento and people actually know more about it. The city has been put on the map more. And a lot of it has to do with the team. Regardless of the winning and the losing, the arena is nice. The town itself is growing. The city, I should call it, is growing. And there's a lot of great things. Hopefully MLS will come very soon. So there's a lot of good things that just further enhance the fact that that I am Sacramento proud, even though I don't live in the city anymore.
Well, Nate, the Kings, they have the arena. They have the fan base. Now they just need the winning product on the floor. And heading into this 2019-2020 season, the most excitement that I can remember for a Kings team and a Kings season really since the mid-2000s, and that's even topping the year that the Golden One Center opened when DeMarcus Cousins was still here in Sacramento and the Kings were hoping to make a playoff run. There was certainly excitement heading into that year. But this year, even with the talent in the Western Conference and still a very steep hill to climb, this young Kings squad has not only turned a lot of heads and made a lot of fans happy in Sacramento, but really around the NBA. People are really starting to take notice. I'm curious your feelings heading into this season, your confidence level with the state of the Western Conference, which with what the Kings team was able to do last year and the additions that they made this summer. What's your confidence level at going into this year in terms of this is finally the year that the Kings break that playoff drought?
My confidence level is really high, but the excitement level is through the roof. Last year, I was very excited about the team. I know a lot of people were down on it, but I felt that something big was going to happen. I didn't know what it was, but I had a feeling. And as we saw last year, it all blew up in a good way. This year, I expect continued growth, and I expect some big things from the team. Whether it translates into playoffs, well, we'll see what the Western Conference, how it pans out. But I think I don't think it's quite going to pan out the way most of the so-called experts are saying. I think there's going to be a little difference. There are a lot of assumptions being made about the free agency. And with the Kings, they are focused totally on the development of their young players. They were not trying to improve dramatically through the free agent market, which is what Sacramento tends to have to focus on. Yeah. Trades and drafts is how they evolve. But if Fox can take a huge step this year, he needs to play at an all-star level. Will he make the all-star team? I don't know. But he really needs to play at this level. He's third-year guard. This is his year to establish himself. He's not going to surprise anybody, so he has to take that into effect. Looking at the other young players, Bagley, for me, Bagley needs to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy and get 30, 32 minutes a game, I think he can really establish himself as a quality big man in this league with a huge, bright future ahead of him. Looking at the other guys, Buddy, he had a breakthrough year. I'm not sure how much better Buddy can get. We'll have to see. Maybe a little more consistency. He's a little streaky, but you give him the ball and an inch, he'll make the bucket. So I'm really excited to see what happens with Buddy. And then the other core guys, Harry Giles, he needs to learn how to play without fouling. We'll see. We'll see how his second year goes. I'm hoping big things for him, but I don't expect a huge Fox level leap. But I would like him to see him play without getting five fouls in 10 minutes, essentially. the other core guys, looking at like Bogey, I'd really be interested to see if he can figure out what his role with the team is. I don't know if a speed game fits him ideally. We'll have to see. Maybe he plays with Joseph and Ariza and the second team and can slow it down a little bit. That seems to be where he's more effective. But we'll see what Luke Walton has in store for him. And the other guys, Harrison and Trevor Ariza, oh, it's so nice to have some length at the three. Finally, we've had, Iman Shumpert at 6'5" and Bogey at 6'6" trying to defend threes. It's just been a joke. And now we got a couple of 6'8 guys out there. So that's going to be great. And they should shore up that position. They won't be superstars, but it's not going to be a weakness for this team anymore. And then Dwayne Dedman, obviously, at the five is actually a five who can shoot threes, which is going to free up the middle for Fox and Bagley. And so that'll be a great thing. So there's a ton of excitement, a ton of depth on this team. I've never seen a team with so much depth, quality depth. For a Kings team in 13 years, I guess we could say. And so the excitement level is through the roof. Let's see what can happen because this West is wide open. Anything can happen.
It sounds like we're cut from the same cloth in the sense that last year, both of us sensed heading into that season that there was a lot to be excited about and that good things were coming. Now, neither of us can stand on a pedestal and say we predicted this team to nearly win 40 games. But we certainly felt better about the team than a portion of the fan base, maybe even a majority of the fan base did. Now everybody seems to be on the same page with their overall excitement level, although we're all trying to still decide our measuring stick for what success is this year. And my measuring stick was very clearly defined heading into next season. It was last season, excuse me. It was establishing an identity, and it was, by the end of the season, we should know what this Kings team is, who the stars are, how they like to play, and how they can be effective. And it took a month for us to figure all that out and to check that box, which is very, very exciting. This year, the measuring stick is a little more muddied. Is it playoffs? Is it improvement? How much of it is out of the Kings' control just with the strength of the Western Conference? Do you have a measuring stick or something that says, like, this needs to happen for me to call this season a success for the Kings?
Well, I'd like to see the playoffs, but I'm not going to consider the playoffs a true measuring stick of this team based on the Western Conference. I think the key thing is, as I've stated before, this team cannot go out and get your A-level free agents. We have to develop our young talent. So my measuring stick is I need to see Fox play at an all-star level. I need to see him mentioned when they're talking about the top point guards in the West or even in the league by the end of the year. I need to hear that Buddy Hield is actually on a level with some of the top shooting guards. I'm so tired of hearing Bradley Beal is so much better than Buddy Hield. He's not. And I think that by the end of this year, I think Buddy Hield will have an argument about that. I'd like to see that Marvin Bagley, as I said before, can stay healthy and that he can really establish himself as a dominant force down low. I think he can, if given the minutes and given the opportunity. But I really want to see those three guys really sort of establish themselves in the league, as really serious quality players. For me, that would be great because going into the following season, there's no question like, well, can Fox be good enough? Can Bagley be good enough? Is Buddy for real? I want those questions answered. I want us to come out of this year basically saying the Kings have three solid players. Maybe it's a different three. I don't know, but we'll see. I want to see that. And that's my measuring stick. I want to come out feeling this team is now talked about as a playoff contender for many years to come. And whether we make the playoffs this year, we'll see. I hope so. I would love the excitement of that. But it's not make or break playoffs for me this year. But I would definitely like to see a better than 500 record.
I appreciate how clear and defined that was, because I'm still working on making it as clear and defined as that for me personally. What I want to end with, Nate, is one more follow-up question to that. Again, talking about just trying to figure out and gauge expectations for this team. If De'Aaron Fox has an all-star caliber season, and if Marvin Bagley takes that next step, almost a De'Aaron Fox-esque leap into his second season, certainly a lot to be pleased about, and we can go into the offseason saying, hey, great, this team can continue to develop talent. There's still a lot to be excited about. But if still, even with the two of them making those jumps, the Kings, due to the strength of the Western Conference, end up losing more games or winning less games than they did last season, even if it's only by one or two, are you disappointed? Or are you still okay with the fact that they showed growth and we just ran into a buzzsaw of the West? Because to me, no matter what happens with the development of players, with the strength of the Western Conference, if you truly want to be considered a contender for years to come and want to rise up to the challenge, you don't have to make the playoffs this year, but you have to top 39 wins.
I could see that. I have to think about something here. Of course,
it's a tough balance. It's a teeter totter, and it's one of the positions that Vlade's really put himself in, yeah. Because moving on from Dave Yeager, bringing in Luke Walton, he talked about this team making that next step, and sure, player development is a part of that. And of course, playoffs are maybe two rungs up the ladder, not necessarily one rung. But you got to continue to improve on your win total, don't you?
You definitely need to continue. The optics of less wins is not good. So you definitely need to do everything possible to top 49. I really think you need to do everything to break the 500 mark. And is that at the sacrifice of development of young players? Well, you never know. That you may have to find a way to do that to some degree, if that means maybe Dwayne Dedman and Holmes play the center a little more than Harry Giles, for example. We'll just have to see what happens if that's where it goes. But as it was last year, everyone was talking about, oh, this team really needs to get to 500. That's just such a mark that needs to be established to help this team be a little more legitimized. And the losses near the end just killed us. And there were bad losses on top of that. So I honestly think this team will break 500. I don't think they're going to have to do any tricks or anything to get to the 500 mark. So yeah. I think it will be there. I think the West is stacked, but if you look at the West, every team, with maybe the exception of Denver, completely overhauled or had a major transaction within the organization. And there's going to be a lot of learning each other going on in these key Western teams. And so I don't think it's going to be just seven or eight teams just running away with it. I think it's going to be a lot more interesting than people think. There's going to be a bunch of 50 win teams. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of 60 win teams this year.
Very well said, Nate. And one thing's for sure, to wrap it all up and to put a bow on it, and I'm curious if you feel the same way or would say the same thing. The one thing I have zero question about heading into this season, which is the first time we've been able to say this with the Kings in a very, very long time, is I don't care how many stars are on the Lakers or on the Clippers or on the Philadelphia 76ers. There is, and I firmly believe this, there is not a team in the NBA this season that the Kings can't compete with. And to me, that tells me, that gives me the confidence that this can be a potential playoff year and that this team can break 500.
I completely agree. There's no Warriors this year like there was in the past years. Those teams don't exist. And I don't even fear the Rockets anymore.
Yep.
So anything can happen. And if the young players keep developing and Luke puts together a really good plan, I see no reason there can't be something great for this team this year. We'll see how far it goes. But it's definitely going to be fun. And if anything, we take anything away from it, this is going to be a really fun year.
Well, Nate, I got to tell you, man, I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed having you on. Fantastic conversation. Excellent job by you. Fans, if you want to, or listeners, if you want to get connected with Nate, do so on Twitter, on social media, at Nate Washburn. That's W-A-S-H-B-U-R-N. As we were speaking, I made sure to hit that follow button for Nate because I look forward to getting into more conversations with him in the future. Nate, thank you so much for reaching out. Thank you, of course, for listening to this podcast, being involved with this fan base. It was fantastic and a blessing just to hear your story of how you became a Kings fan. So don't be a stranger, man. We'll continue these conversations off the air throughout this upcoming season. If you're at a game at the Golden One Center, please let me know. We'd love to meet you in person. But thank you so much for taking the time to appear here on the podcast today and really show what Fans Only is all about.
Absolutely. Great to be part of the pod today.
Huge thank you to both Nate and Walker for taking the time to appear here on the Locked On Kings podcast today. Really is a pleasure to be able to speak with you Kings fans and to have two fantastic people and fantastic fans like the both of them to spend the time not just to listen to me, but be willing to talk to me and share their stories and their opinions and thoughts here on this podcast platform. It's truly something that is humbling to me, something I do not take for granted, and something I really, really appreciate. And again, you can be like Nate, like Walker, like the rest of the fans that we've had on the Locked On Kings podcast over the last couple of years by reaching out to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK or via email mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Because of the response I've been getting of people wanting to be on the show, I'm going to start doing fans-only podcasts more frequently, especially during the regular season. So do not wait, or if maybe you don't feel like it right now, but you might feel like it later, all you have to do is just send me a little bit about yourself, your backstory of how you became a Kings fan, and I'll connect with you and work out a time to interview you and get you on, and we can have great conversations like the ones you heard here today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have yourself a great rest of the day. Remember, next week, we really get things going as next Friday, Sacramento Kings Media Day at the Golden One Center. It's coming, people. We've almost made it. Thank you so much for listening to today's Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.